Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of the Total Sports Live podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host and co-host today, Jovan Alford, here on the podcast. We've got a great show for everyone this week as we're going to be talking about and breaking down the 2019 NBA G League Winter Showcase, which is happening on Thursday, December 19th. So this Thursday coming up. This is something that we talked, me and Harrison talked about over text messages, and I think we kind of hinted towards some more G League content in our previous podcast. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to break down the Winter Showcase in this episode, talking with Dakota Schmidt of RidiculousUpside.com, which is part of SB Nation. So we're glad to be having him join us very shortly, but. Before we even, talk about the G League and the Winter Showcase and everything that comes with it, you can check out this platform this podcast on a variety of different platforms. First and foremost, you can check it out here on blogtalkradio.com / Total Sports Live. Or if you don't want to do that, you can check it out on Apple Podcasts. Just search Total Sports Live TSL Podcast. Hit the subscribe button or leave us a review. We appreciate either or, as it helps us continue to grow this podcast as we, wrap up one full year of doing podcasting for the whole year and trying to take it and make it bigger and better going into next year. Also, you can check us out on Spotify as well. We're on Spotify, just same thing for Apple Podcasts. Just search Total Sports Live TSL Podcast, hit that follow button and we'll be all good to go, right there. But like I said, we got a great show, for everyone this week, today or wherever you listen, whenever you listen to this podcast, as we break down 2019 NBA G League, Winter Showcase. I would be joined by Harrison, but he got tied up with some finals. As you know, finals week is up for a lot of college students. So he's, wrapping up finals this week. So I'm just going to, be riding solo with my puppy. I don't think he's going to, speak, hopefully not, because he's asleep as he record this. But it should be, like I said, it should be a great podcast, just talking to someone like Dakota, who, has been following the G League for a minute, covering the G League, really is in tune, to what's going on in the G League. And, there's a lot of things going on in addition to Winter Showcase, brand new teams being added this year. And we got another team joining the league coming up in 2020. And up in 2020 in Mexico City. So that's going to be interesting to hear Dakota's thoughts on it. And like I said, we're just looking forward to see what the showcase has in store, because this is a different format in previous years. Obviously, as each year the showcase has been happening, there's been more and more teams added to the G League subsequently. So we're going to talk about that new format, which involves, I think, some prize money as well. But still, the Winter Showcase is a great avenue for G League players to, to get seen and get heard, to be seen, not by multitude of scouts and player personnel from all different NBA teams, international teams. It's a hotbed of talent. If you're a player trying to grind for that two-way contract, you can get it. Or if you're a player on that two-way trying to, get promoted to that standard NBA contract window, which, it's a possibility for a lot of these guys on two ways. That's always a possibility as well. Or if you're looking for it, or if you're just a regular G League free agent on one of these teams, maybe a 10-day contract is, possibly coming up in your window. The 10-day contract window should be opening up very shortly in January. I'm not too sure. We can ask Dakota about that one, and I think we do have him on the line, so let's get him on the line right now. Joining us here on the Total Sports Live podcast is none other than, I'll call him the G League Insider, lead writer, editor over there at RidiculousUpside.com, Dakota Schmidt. Dakota, we appreciate you taking some time out to talk some NBA G League action with us.
Jovan, it's always a pleasure to talk G League with you, whether it's through Twitter or on this live show.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And there's a lot to talk about, you know, with this winter showcase. I, you know, went on Ridiculous Upside this week, a lot of content about that. And, you know, a lot of interest and a lot of great content also about Devonte Kaycook, which I definitely want to ask you about. But we do got to start off and talk about the G League this week. Making some big news, announcing that Capitanes, which is a professional b-ball team in Mexico City, will join G League next season as its 29th affiliate. This team was established in 2016 and currently plays in, you know, Mexico's, you know, pro basketball league, and, you know, will be in the G League for about a term of 5 years. You know, for someone who's, you know, been following and covering the G League for a minute, did you ever think that this would actually be a possibility? Because it was talked about, but it's a possibility. It's now a thing, and we're still waiting for teams like Portland and Denver to get on the bandwagon to have affiliates.
Yeah, this possibility has been hanging in the air for the past year or two since Jonathan Givony, of ESPN, formerly of Draft Express, pointed out that the G League was looking to have a team in Mexico City. But at that time, I believe that he reported that it would be Team Mexico City would be a hub for the individual prospects that were competing at the various NBA academies. Honestly, I didn't expect the G League to, I guess, make a deal with an already pre-existing NBA team, international team, excuse me. Honestly, this hasn't happened since like 2005 when it was called the NBA DL made a deal with the Sioux Falls Skyforce that were in the CBL or CBA. So yeah, this hasn't happened in 14 years, and obviously it's big coming from a team in Mexico.
Yeah, like you said, that's very interesting to see them, you know, make a deal with an already established team. Because, like you said, I remember hearing and reading reports and Silver, you know, mentioning that at various press conferences. I think back in 2017, he mentioned it and mentioned in the press conference this possibility. But you always thought that, all right, maybe they're going to, you know, just create a team, you know, and just, you know, bring, you know, prospects and fill it out that way. But taking a whole professional team, I wonder how does that work. You don't think there'll be like any like assignments of players, you know, getting, you know, called up from Capitanes to an NBA team. How do you think that this situation will like play itself out with them playing in the G League but not really being like a feeder for an NBA team?
That's a great question that I want the G League to answer. At this point, I don't know if the team, the Capitanes team that's going to be in the G League next year will be made of players that have been on the roster in the past and have made deals with Capitanes, or that team will still follow in the G League roster structure, if you will, of every player on the team making $35,000 for the season and being signed to the actual G League itself rather than, you know, the individual team. So there's a lot of questions that really need to be answered about this, but like I said, I am excited.
Yeah, it's a big move, and hopefully you would think that Denver and Portland would just be like, okay, I think we waited long enough for, you know, to add there, yeah, to get their feet in the affiliate pool. Because it's it's been a minute. I mean, you see it. You see the league expanding. You know, they got the league in Africa, and now you got the G League team in, you know, Mexico. And now it's getting to the point where it's like, okay, we know the Idaho Stampede isn't a thing anymore, but now it's more like, all right, what's the holdup? Like, come on now. Like, you got a team in Mexico City before you got a team for Denver and, you know, in Portland.
And honestly, I think it's really ridiculous that neither Portland or Denver don't have a team at this point, especially both teams, because Denver, you know, somebody like Torrey Craig, players like Torrey Craig and Monte Morris who were previously in the G League and have a current established roles with the big league club. They could have done that with their own G League team and, you know, continue to make push those players to improve further within the Denver Nuggets system, within Michael Malone's system with the Nuggets. And also, obviously, the Trailblazers, you look at the current two-way players that they have, Jalen Horde, I believe, and Moses Brown, two young, one-and-done players. And, you know, if they had a G League affiliate, they could have allowed those players to slowly develop, slowly learn the Trailblazer system and develop them in that way. But both those players are with G League teams, but they're not learning how they're not playing Portland basketball when they're in the G League.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's actually the same thing I was thinking about when we, you know, talk about Denver, the same thing with, you know, Bol Bol. Like, it's nice. It's great to see Bol Bol on the court playing basketball, getting time. But he's playing in Windy City. He's playing in Windy City's, you know, system, which is supposedly mirroring Chicago's system. So it's like, how do we get a gauge on, you know, what type of player he can or, you know, cannot become? And then we see Michael Porter Jr. not really getting time in Denver, so you wonder, right, maybe if Denver had a G League team, maybe we see more further development from a Bol Bol and maybe more minutes, you know, for Michael Porter Jr. where he's able to develop and, you know, flourish and continue to build his game.
Yeah, and the Nuggets and the Blazers are lucky this season as the Blazers two players, Horton, Moses Brown, they're both playing together in Texas, and Chicago's two players, PJ Dozier and Bol Bol, are playing like together. You know, like you mentioned, with the Windy City Bulls. So at least they're on the same team, building chemistry. That hasn't been the case in the past. You know, with two players. Like I remember last year where two player Brandon Goodwin on the Nuggets. He was playing with the Iowa Wolves, while their other two-way player, Thomas Walsh, was playing with the Capital City Go-Go. So those two players were on the Denver Nuggets roster and on the same kind of two-way deal with that team, but they were playing with separate G League affiliates.
Right. And when you have, and when, like I said, when you have that, you guys not playing on same different, when they're playing on different teams, they can't get a flow, can't get a feel for each other, and it just, you know, makes it, it's not cohesive. So to see, you know, both teams, you know, keeping both of the two way guys together and young players together, it should work out for them. And, you know, speaking about, you know, about the G League and the teams, you know, they all have this big special annual winner showcase, which is coming up on Thursday. Games can be seen, I think, on NBAGLeague.com and also on ESPN, on ESPN Plus. So if y'all got the ESPN app, go get it. You can check out the games, G League games there, or NBAGLeague.com. Or I think they have games on Twitch as well this season, which is much better than whole.
I have the article that I posted on where it goes up to have the winner showcase schedule. And they have the games will be broadcast on ESPNU, NBA TV, obviously, like you said, the NBA G League, ESPN News, and a few on the championship game on ESPN2. So,
okay.
It's going to be on one of those networks. Of course, you can get NBA. You can just go to the NBAGLeague.com to watch games that are on the G League site. ESPN Plus, it's only $5 a month. That's a good deal anyways. But you can watch games from there. And NBA TV, it's part of your cable package. But I believe starting this year, you can subscribe. On the NBA site, you can subscribe to NBA TV in general. I think it's $7 a month, $6 a month, something like that on the league site.
Yeah, and I think and that's great to see. I think I can speak for anybody who's, been watching the G League. It's great to be able to watch the G League on those platforms rather than the whole Facebook.com viewing, which was not the greatest.
I didn't like looking at the little emojis when I was trying to watch games.
Right. You just see everybody clicking hearts and clicking, laughing emojis. Just oh my gosh. I speak for anybody. I keep telling people the YouTube experience when the G League was on YouTube was the best by far. Being able to rewatch games and, get the rewind, fast forward. It was just perfect. And then when he went to Facebook, it was just oh my gosh. I got to click into Facebook or try to figure out a way to watch it, and I got to watch the comments, and I'm just it's doing too much.
Yeah,
it's giving me a headache.
At that time, Facebook Watch really wasn't a thing. The G League was the first service to really do live streams, so I don't know if they even have connections with stuff Roku and Apple TV, but they definitely didn't, at that time, back in 2016-17, I believe it was.
Right. Like I said, it's great to see the showcase on, various platforms starting on Thursday. And speaking of the showcase, you highlighted in your story on RidiculousUpside.com that there's a brand new format to the tournament, actually, which gives some incentive to the top four teams. What's all that about in this whole new format coming to the winner showcase?
This year, for the first time ever, there's going to be two kind of situations at the G League Winter Showcase. For 24 teams, they're going to basically compete in the same kind of showcase event that we've seen in years past, where, the players get a chance to showcase their skills in front of any type of NBA executive and international scouts and whatever. They get to play for a chance to eventually get a 2-way, 10-day, or more lucrative overseas deal. But this year, four teams, the Wisconsin Herd, the Memphis Hustle, Salt Lake City Stars, and the Grand Rapids Drive, those four teams, after the first 12 games of the season, they had the four best records. So they will be competing in what is called the championship bracket. Now, teams in that championship bracket will get a chance to compete for an opportunity to play in the title game. And the winner of that title game will receive $100,000 that will be divided amongst the individual players on the team.
That's not bad. That's a pretty good incentive, I think, for a showcase. Not only you get a nice little reward for your play, but you also could get an extra reward, by getting scouted and hopefully, like you said, getting a 2-way contract or getting that 10-day or, getting, an overseas deal. It's a great opportunity all around. It's great, to see the G League continue, to do this and continue to see the winner showcase just get bigger and bigger. And, one of the teams that we focus here a lot on Total Sports Live, on Total Sports Live podcast and TotalSportsLive.com is the Delaware Bluecoats. This team, has really looked good this season and has, been over the last, week or two, been one of the hottest teams in the G League under second year head coach Connor Johnson. From your perspective, Dakota, what has impressed you thus far about the Bluecoats' play this season?
I think Currently, they're on a 6-game winning streak as of the time that we're currently talking here on this live show. And a lot of their success has to do with a mix of some of their perimeter weapons and defense. In regards to their defense, shot blockers. You know, they have Dorrell Moore. They have Chris Kamaje, who is 7'5", and Dorrell Moore is like 7'2". So they're both huge towers of men. Also Norrell Pell, who has been dealing with injuries as of late, but he also has been a really solid player for them this season. And on the offensive end, you have the duo of Mario Šajak and Xavier Mumford. Šajak has been fantastic on the offensive end. During the 6-game winning streak, he's averaging 22.6 points, 4.4 boards, 2.8 assists, 44% from the field, and 36% from beyond the arc. And Xavier Mumford has been the same type of solid player that he's been throughout his G League career. Really solid 20-point scorer within that stretch. So shot blocking and the duo of Shaq and Xavier Mumford have been the biggest keys behind the Blue Coat success.
And it's funny that you bring up Xavier Mumford, because that was just about to be my follow-up question, you know, about Mumford. You know, you've had a chance, you know, to see him, and, you know, I think he was a part of the Wisconsin Herd, you know, last season. Mm-hmm. He obviously got traded in the offseason for DJ Hogue. So to see, you know, for see him playing with the Herd last year and, you know, just seeing him play throughout the G League and, you know, with his time, you know, in the summer league with the Bucks, he was with the Bucks in the summer league, and now with the Blue Coats, and he played for Team USA. You know, do you think this guy is due for a 10-day contract at some point? Because I mean, this season I think he's played probably playing the best basketball of his career right now in the G League.
I've always thought that he is a really solid, well-rounded player, and he's been a consistent player over the course of his time in the G League. And I definitely think he's worthy of a 10-day contract when that option becomes available next month. He's had cups of coffee in the NBA before. He was with the Memphis Grizzlies in 2016. He was on a 2-way deal with the Milwaukee Bucks towards the end of the 2017-18 season. So NBA executives, NBA scouts obviously know about Mumford, and, you know, you have to believe that they're seeing, you know, the kind of production that he's putting up with the Delaware Bluecoats, and how his, you know, production has led Delaware to currently stand as one of the best teams in the D-League.
Yeah, most definitely. We're here on the Total Sports Live podcast. I'm Jovan Alford here with Dakota Schmidt of RidiculousUpside.com. And Dakota, before we jump into, you know, the intriguing prospects and, you know, players and matchups that people should be watching out for in the showcase, Ridiculous Upside has put up a couple of stories on Devontae Kaycock, who was signed to a 2-way deal earlier this week, as we saw the Lakers, you know, surprisingly release Zach Norvell Jr., who had a really impressive summer league, but kind of came down to earth in the G League off of that. What did you think about, you know, the Lakers moving on from Norvell and, you know, and giving it to Kaycock? You know, I think this is the guy, if I read your piece on Ridiculous Upside, this is a guy that I think you're really high on and what he brings to the floor, and, you know, and how today's NBA is being played.
Yeah, I love Devontae's game. He's undersized as a 6'8" forward, but man, the production that he's had this season with South Bay. He currently has, he's played a game since I wrote that piece, but at that time, he had the best total rebound percentage in G League history. No, actually, he was second behind John Bohannon, but second best total rebound percentage in G League history. He is a monster on the defensive and offensive glass. It's just a joy to watch him rebound basketballs. But aside from that, he is a pretty solid rim running forward that works his butt off. Running up the court, has solid footwork inside. He's a really good role man due to his ability, due to him being a bigger 6'8" forward that can has nice hops that can go up for alley oops, and with the point guards that the team has with David Stockton, Gary Payne Jr., he's had those opportunities, and I thought that it might have not been the best idea for them to waive Norvell, because I think he is a really solid talent, and maybe he's struggling to get adjusted to the pace of the G League, because what I saw of Norvell in summer league and preseason, I think he's a real talent, and maybe this might be a hot take that may give me a trouble with some Bucks fans, but I feel like the team could have waived Tostes Antetokounmpo over Zach Norvell and put a Kaycock in that spot.
That's an interesting viewpoint. And why do you feel that way? Because I would tend to agree with you, because I think Norvell's shooting ability is something that the Lakers need going forward, in my opinion. And to have a young shooter like that who's who can knock down the three ball at a consistent rate, we saw that in the summer league, and even at a time in Gonzaga, a 3-and-D young player like that doesn't really come around too often, and it would be nice to keep him in your system. So, but why do you feel that way, that Norvell, like you said, that if you were to make a decision, you would keep Norvell and instead take off Kostas off of the two way and give it to Devontae?
Because I think that Devontae Kaycock is most definitely a better player than Kostas is right now, and Kostas would have to work really hard to develop into a better player than what Devontae is right now. And like you said, while he struggled during his first few games in the G League, I think Norvell is a really solid talent. And like you said, 3-and-D wins don't grow on trees, especially ones that were as efficient as a Norvell during summer league and during the preseason.
Yeah, and you look at if you just look at the Lakers, they have a lot of older-ish players at that forward / shooting guard position with a Jared Dudley and KCP, who's been up and down, and Troy Daniels, who's supposed to be that shooter, and they could use a young guy like that to keep in their system. But I'm pretty sure that Norvell will find his way. Me personally, I said that the Sixers should try to maybe get him on a two-way deal and promote maybe a Mariel Shayok, but I don't know at this point who do you cut from the Sixers. So I'm sure Norvell will land on his feet eventually.
And obviously, from my perspective, one of the big reasons why the Lakers have Kostas is because maybe they have had at the time or still have plans to bring in another Antetokounmpo. Even though I really don't know how he fit in with the team, but
right. definitely going to see about that. Like I said, this is the Total Sports Live podcast. Here, Jovan Alfred here with Dakota Smith of Ridiculous Upside. And Dakota, we look at just the, like I said, this should be an exciting, few days of basketball out in Las Vegas for, you know, anybody that loves hoops in the G League. You know, this is the stuff to watch. You know, a lot of great intriguing matchups and players. What are, in your opinion, you know, what are some prospects or, you know, some matchups, you know, people should really, you know, pay attention and be looking out for during this, you know, few days of basketball?
Do you want me to talk more about two-way guys or guys that can get called up in the future?
That's a good question. I think we can do a mixture of both, you know, guys that you know, because I know you've talked a lot about Jordan Bone and, like I said, Kaycock, you know, whatever you feel, we can take a mixture of both.
All right. In regards to two-way players, like you mentioned, Devontae Kaycock, I really love his game. Jordan Bone has been phenomenal with the Grand Rapids Drive. Another two-way player worth taking a look at is Josh Gray. Dude is putting up NBA 2K on rookie level type of numbers. 29 points, 8 assists, 4.5 rebounds per game with the Erie BayHawks. He's been phenomenal, and he is just a joy to watch. And one player that I will go to the mountaintops and I will scream his name as a called candidate, and that is Sir Dominic Poynter of the Cannon Charge. Dude is an NBA player in my eyes. A phenomenal, tremendous defender. Has been that way since his time at St. John's, but his defense has been at another level with the Cannon Charge, averaging more than two blocks and two steals per game, which for a 6'5 wing, which he is, that is unseen. And mix that tremendous defense with him being a solid 36% three-point shooter on four attempts per game, and those are the makings for a guy that should be in an NBA rotation right now.
Not bad. I like your choices. One guy who stood out to me from the local area here in Philly is B.J. Johnson. This is a guy who, you know, I had a chance to see, you know, at LaSalle, and because I obviously am an alumni there for anybody that don't know. But I've been very impressed to see, you know, his progression from LaSalle going undrafted, playing in Portsmouth, and, you know, going from there undrafted, landing, you know, with the Magic, you know, last season had a more than a solid, you know, season last season with Lakeland, and then got two NBA call-ups, and then from there, you know, back with the Magic, and now got the two-way. What do you think about his game? I think he's had really, you know, like you mentioned, you know, the two-way guys, I think he's had a really impressive start, you know, to the season for Lakeland, really looking like a step above the competition in a lot of his games.
I like I said with Sir Dominic Poynter, I will scream to the mountaintops. I will go back to the mountaintops a second time, Jovan, to the scream praises out about B.J. Johnson. He was fantastic last year with Darius rookie year with the Lakeland Magic. 6'7" wing that could shoot the hell out of the ball and can also is a solid athlete that can drive to the rim and finish. He has progressed as an overall player this year as a two-way player with Orlando / Lakeland. Still shooting well from downtown, 40% on 5.3 attempts per game. He's also making progress as a facilitator and as a ball hawk. He's averaging 2.4 steals per game. So mix is already solid shooting, ability to get to the rim with a developing as a facilitator and as an all-ball defender, being able to get steals. B.J. Johnson is another player that I really love, and I think fans should, if they have an opportunity during the upcoming week, to watch him play when he's with Lakeland.
Hey, definitely. Check out all of those players, all of the players at the G League Winter Showcase, which, you know, should be fun. As you probably know, we have hinted already on this podcast, sorry for anybody that listened, that 3-and-D wings do not grow on trees. So if you have a 3-and-D guy on your team, you should probably take care of him and make sure that he doesn't go nowhere. Lakers talking to you. But, I think that's about it. I think, did we miss anything that you felt like we should have touched on, about the showcase or just about the G League in general this season that we, you know, that we might've missed, in today's podcast?
There are a few players I want to touch on, but aside from, do you want to talk a bit about the state of the G League?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I'm all about the state of the G League. I think there's a lot of things to, you know, discuss about that. So hey, let's go.
All right. This is the first full season with G League president Sharif Abdur-Rahim. He was president during the later stages of last season after then G League president Malcolm Turner left to go to Vanderbilt. And I think I wrote an article about this during the offseason. I think the G League is in great shape, but I think it's gotten a little better this past week with the introduction of the team from Mexico, the talent level in the G League. I think you can attest to this. It is that it's better than – it's continuing to get better, and it's better now than it was last year and so on and so forth. I think my one gripe and one flaw that G League has dealt with their professional path program when it comes to trying to bring, you know, top high school prospects to the G League. They introduced that at the beginning of last season, and you know, as fans know, a lot of there have been some elite high school players that have gone on to play in the pros, but all those guys, minus one, have gone to the Australian National Basketball League.
Wow. And I'm glad you mentioned that because over the summer I had a chance to sit down with somebody that's affiliated with a G League or an organization. And we were talking about professional path and why it hasn't really worked, you know, the high school prospects haven't really come to that decision of saying, well, you know what, overseas is nice, but hey, I get to be in an NBA system for a year and I get to, you know, help, you know, possibly boost my chances of being drafted. Why do you think that the players are, you know, because we thought it was going to be Darius Bazley last year, but Bazley opted and didn't play basketball. Instead, he did an internship at New Balance. Hey, more respect to you. Get the bag. You see him, and then obviously we saw, like you said, we just saw this past, you know, this year, you know, with both LaMelo Ball and RJ Hampton going over to the Australian, you know, National, you know, Basketball League, and Terrence Ferguson also opting to go over to Australia as well. Why do you think players, young players in particular, are opting to, like I said, do the overseas thing instead of saying, hey, why not just do G League, $125K, you know, why not to get my chance to go against the NBA players, NBA talent?
Shortly after RJ Hampton announced that he was going to Australia, I actually wrote a piece about the faults of the G League Professional Path program. And I think the biggest fault in that is that it gives no freedom of choice to the actual players themselves. The decisions are made by the G League. After the young prospect signs a professional path program to the G League itself makes all the decisions about where the player is going to go. They make the decision about how they're going to be, the programs that they're going to be used. And, you know, while that kind of makes sense because, you know, we're dealing with 17, 18 year old kids and, you know, it's best to have the adults in the room when those when those kind of huge, significant moves are being made. That isn't the case with the Australian National Basketball League. Like, LaMelo Ball, he decided to go to Illawarra?
That's about right.
And RJ Hampton decided to go to the New Zealand Breakers. I think the total control that the G League has with those decisions is the biggest reason behind why players, in my opinion, players decide to go to Australia rather than the G League.
That's a fairly good point, and something that I didn't even consider, because if you're a prospect, you kind of, like you say, you want to have your choice of where you want to go and say, you know, maybe I'm a point guard, maybe I want to go play in Santa Cruz, you know, and learn under that system, or, you know, maybe I want to go play in, you know, maybe I'm going to go play in Austin, you know, with the, you know, for the Spurs, and you know, learn through their system. Instead, you know, I might get sent out to, you know, Sioux Falls, which is, no, don't get me wrong, Sioux Falls has been a great, you know, basketball, you know, community for the Skyforce, and we've seen the Skyforce develop immense talent, but it's hard to convince an 18-year-old to say, hey, you're going to go play in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, instead of saying, hey, you're going to go play in, you know, in Arizona, Northern Arizona, or you're going to go play in, you know, South Bay. You know, it's easier to convince them to play there than possibly playing, and like I said, no disrespect, to play in Sioux Falls or in Portland, Maine.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And again, no disrespect to Sioux Falls. Two of the biggest G League championship successes during the current 2019-20 season have come from Sioux Falls. You know, no, actually one of them has, and that's Duncan Robinson. And the other is Kendrick Nunn. I was kind of confused because they're both playing on the Heat, and the Heat are affiliated with Sioux Falls. But last year,
right,
Kendrick Nunn spent his rookie season with the Santa Cruz Warriors.
And it's funny you said it, because for some reason I kept on affiliating like Kendrick Nunn with the Skyforce. Like, I envisioned him in a Skyforce uniform, and I don't know why. Until, like you said, I look back and it's like, oh, he was on Santa Cruz. But Santa Cruz, even them, they have done really good this year. I mean, you look at just at the Warriors with them being devoid of, you know, injuries, having a ton of injuries. We've seen guys like Kai Bowman, who, you know, was signed to a two-way deal. You know, he's had some moments. Now he's back in Santa Cruz. Damian Lee, you know, we see Jordan Poole, you know, getting some work there. They got the young forward, Alan Smalich. I think that's what his name, how you pronounce his name.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if I butchered it. Yeah, Smalagic, and so you can see, like you said, the G League, and we, as you, like you say, you, we can attest to, there's just an insane amount of talent. There's not a game that you don't turn on. You say, wow, there's a lot of players that should be on the NBA roster, and the only reason why they're not on the roster is because the NBA can't expand their roster to 19 to 20 guys. You know what I'm saying? That's how talented the league is.
You saying that actually makes me think of something that has been brought up from various basketball Twitter personalities, and that is adding a third round to the NBA draft that's just based on the G League. I have personal thoughts about this, but I kind of want to shoot the question to you and kind of put a wrench in, you know, what we've been doing on this show.
Oh no, I think that's a good way to wrap up the podcast, you know, to talk about that. I'm not opposed to a third round. I think a third round would be I think it would be interesting to have. I mean, when we're talking about the third round, what are we incorporating? Are we incorporating G League free agents? Are we incorporating guys that went undrafted and you're already, you're already grabbing, you know, their rights and pegging them to these, you know, two-way contracts? I think it's a great idea, but then, like I said, but then it goes back to the way of, you know, how we talk about professional path contracts, is that we kind of take away these guys, or these, you know, these players, you know, freedom to choose where they want to go. I think that's another thing, you know, for a guy that gets drafted in the second round, he's like, oh, man, I get drafted second round, I don't know if I got a chance that I'm going to make, you know, this team's, you know, roster per se. But if I go undrafted, like an Amar Hinton or, you know, a Zylan Cheatham or even a Lou Dort, you know, those type of guys who, you know, would have doubt you would have thought that would have got drafted. You're just like, oh, wow. Like, I get to kind of pick my own decision and kind of, you know, weigh my options to see, okay, will I go play with the Knicks? Will I go play with the Thunder? The Pelicans, what do I necessarily do?
Yeah, and adding a third round from a personal perspective wouldn't be good, because I think that that late post-draft shuffle for the undrafted guys for teams is really fun to watch. Like, seeing, following the news of which undrafted player is going to sign a two-way, which guy is going to sign an Exhibit 10, which one is going to sign a summer league deal. It's like a little free agency for all the guys that I'll be writing about in you know, 4 or 5 months from that period. And it's always, for the past few years, since the introduction of two-way contracts, it's been fun to follow that. And I think from the players themselves, in terms of player freedom, which has been a movement that has been really elevated over the past, you know, few years from, you know, superstars like LeBron James, I want to see that process continue in future years.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's something that's going to continue to keep on developing and seeing, you know, what the G League does, because then we're eventually going to end up, hopefully, in a couple of years with the high schoolers coming back in. And that just throws a whole wrench into the equation of, you know, because we're going to see high schoolers come back, and a lot of high schoolers might not be NBA ready. So they're going to be playing in the G League. So, I mean, there's a whole wide world of possibilities and things that will be happening in the G League, not only this year, but hopefully years, you know, coming down the road. I really appreciate you joining me tonight on this podcast, Dakota. Where can everybody reach you at? Where can everybody read you at? What's coming up on Ridiculous Upside this week? You know, just plug everything.
All right. This week, I'm going to try to go all out. My term in college ended on Friday, so I'll have more chance to focus on the G League itself. Tomorrow, there is an 85% chance I'll have an article out about Jalen Hands. I'm also looking to do a piece on the Salt Lake City Stars' defense, as they currently have the best defense in the league, and that has allowed them to be one of the best teams in the entire G League. Also, a preview piece on the 10 players to keep an eye on during the showcase. Then when the showcase starts, I'll give a live analysis on the site and also on Twitter at Redick, R-I-D-I-C, Upside. And if you just want to follow my personal account, see pictures of my dog, see me tweet about the Bucks, Packers, whatever, it's at Dakota_Schmidt.
Hey, we appreciate it. We can't wait to read all that exciting stuff. Like he said, folks, follow him on Twitter. Follow Ridiculous Upside on Twitter. Check out RidiculousUpside.com. I'm not only saying that because I like the G League and I wrote for him, but I'm saying that because it's really good G League content. I mean, Dakota and the rest of his crew, they really do a great job out there. There's not a lot of people covering the G League, so to see, you know, to there be a G League hub out there, you know, producing content on the players that you might not know of, but hey, a year or two, or even a month or two later, you know, you hear about them. The only place you're going to read them at first is RidiculousUpside.com. So that's going to wrap up the podcast. I'm Jovan Alford. Like I said, beginning of the show, you can follow me on Twitter at Jovan10. Follow Total Sports Live on Twitter at Total Sports Live. Check out TotalSportsLive.com. And, you know, like we said, you know, check the podcast out on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. So for me and Dakota, everyone have a good one. And hopefully we'll talk to you guys very soon in the near future. Everyone have a great one.